Our first case for argument is Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen versus Union Pacific. Mr. Godner.
Good morning, and may it please the court. This case is really in a somewhat extraordinary posture. It started as a simple dispute over whether one of several Railway Labor Act arbitration awards allowing Union Pacific to deduct interim outside earnings from back pay awards could be set aside under the incredibly narrow arbitration review standard. Since the filing of this case, in fact, two awards allowing such offsets were upheld on the merits in a ruling that the union did not appeal. We're here today, though, over two rulings of the district court, neither of which actually address the merits of the party's dispute.
Can you deal with jurisdiction, though? Because I'm having some concern about whether we have a final appealable order. This case was remanded back to sort of clarify and to get information that was missing from the original decision. So I just want to know how this is and why this is a final order.
Okay. And obviously, Your Honor, was planning on turning to that. I'll turn to it immediately now. This is the first issue, obviously. It's the threshold issue we have to deal with. The union's position is that there is no appellate jurisdiction over our appeal, or for that matter, an appeal that they noticed themselves. And under their theory, of course, we're back in arbitration because we can't correct even undisputed errors of the district court that I think we have here. Now, our position is that there is appellate jurisdiction here, and I'll explain the rationale. You know, I think it's fair to say that appellate jurisdiction over orders remanding cases has a somewhat tortured history here. So we have the Third Circuit, for instance. They said orders were appealable like that in Abdil Manufacturing. They said that they weren't generally appealable in the Union Railroad case. This court has both the Much and the Aurora Equipment decisions, both of which found orders remanding cases to arbitrators not to be appealable. But then we have this court's decision in Perlman versus Swiss Bank, where this court accepted appellate jurisdiction over a district court order remanding a claim to an ERISA plan administrator. Now, the Perlman court held that appellate jurisdiction standards for ERISA and arbitration remands are both based on the same standards. They both come from the standards for remands to administrative agencies. And the Perlman court noted that both the Much and Aurora Equipment decisions from this court.
What is it you think this board will do with the remand order?
The arbitration board, Your Honor. I'm sorry. I want to make sure. I don't know what the arbitration board is going to do with the remand. I mean, the way I read the district court's order, by vacating the outside earnings offset. In addition to, you have to look at this order, I think, in two parts, Your Honor. You've got the part that says.
No, keep it simple.
Okay.
What is it you anticipate the board doing?
The board will, I suspect, answer Judge Reagan's question, that is, what was Mr. Nairn's outside earnings, if any? Then the board has to make a decision about whether it's going to reinsert the outside earnings offset or not, because that's been vacated.
Right.
And Judge Reagan can't add that back in now unless he reverses it.
What is the board going to do? Okay, he's ordered it. He's ordered the earnings deduction, if there are earnings, vacated. Now, what is the board going to do with that?
With the order?
Is it going to reinstate the earnings portion of the award?
It could. It could choose not to. For instance, let me just give you an example. It could hear the evidence. That the one of the hard parts for this question for me, Your Honor, is Trump.
Well, look, come on, keep it simpler. Are you saying the board has the power to reinstate the earnings deduction from the award?
Yes.
And then the union could appeal to the district court?
Then the union, in my view, would probably have to start a new proceeding because it looks to me like the district court is done with this case. I mean, it looks to me like the way...
What do you call a new proceeding? I don't care what you call
lawsuit?
A new proceeding or an appeal or what. If this arbitration board reinstitutes this vacated portion of the award, the deduction for the outside earnings, then what is the railroad do? I mean, what does the union do?
The union at that point would appeal to a district court. That's assuming they still wanted to litigate the issue.
Right, and the district court would do something, and then it comes to us, and so on.
Yes, at that point it would. Yes.
What is the advantage of trying to decide the issue now?
Well, the issue that we want decided now is the part of the order that vacates the outside earnings offset, which the district court just did without finding subject matter jurisdiction to exist. So, in your hypothetical, Your Honor, where the arbitrator reinstates the outside earnings offset, then we're back where we were at the beginning of the whole litigation process, it seems to me. But the arbitrator doesn't have to do that.
So you're worried this could be an endless cycle?
I would hope. Well.
So it's reinstated and the railroad appeals, and of course it would depend on whether this proceeding actually identified the earnings, right?
Yes.
If all the board did was reinstate the earnings offset, but there was no determination that this guy had any outside earnings, then it would be exactly the same case.
Yeah, Right. And I have to say, Your Honor, I find that hard to believe that the arbitration board, if it got Judge Reagan's order that said remanded to determine the amount of Nairn's outside earnings, if any, that the board would ignore that instruction from a federal court. I mean, I think that's an unlikely scenario, frankly. It is certainly possible, but I think
You think what would happen is the board would determine whether there's outside earnings and then issue an order saying we're deducting them.
Or not. Depending on what it chose to do.
Well, I don't understand. Their view is that they should be deducted, right?
Yeah, that was their view.
Why
in the original.
Why would you expect them to change their view?
Because you never know what's going to happen in arbitration. I mean, you to go back, Your Honor.
It won't be the same people?
Well, it will be. It should be the same neutral arbitrator, assuming that referee Ben is still hearing cases from the National Railroad Adjustment Board. I will tell you, typically, the National Railroad Adjustment Board does give it back to the same panel.
Is it just him, or is there some review by the board?
The board consists of partisan members that are employed by the unions and by the nation's rail carriers, plus, when they deadlock, which they do 99% of the time, a neutral, in this case, referee
and
Ben.
Is this fellow Ben?
Yes.
I see.
So in this particular.
I want to talk to you a little bit about this. Your position that we have a final order. Why isn't it that we just have a district court that sent it back to see what the outside earnings are?
Well, if that was the only thing the district court did, I wouldn't be standing here. The district court did more than that. And I find it, frankly, Your Honor, inexplicable. I've read the order I don't know how many times, and I can't explain to the court why the district court felt it should vacate the outside earnings offset under these facts. I mean, if the district court, and I understand the district court's concern about its subject matter jurisdiction, in fact, the district court's duty-bound to make sure it has subject matter jurisdiction. All it had to do is remand, and it would have accomplished that goal.
Right, because a remand would send it back, then we'd find out what he had in outside earnings, and it could be decided. I guess, you know, so why isn't, I mean, so... Why isn't that the result that we should? Why shouldn't that be our conclusion? Then to send it back, say the district court erred, should be remanded so a determination can be made as to whether or not he earned outside income, and if he did, how much it was. Rather than, it seems to me what you, in response to my brother's questions, it seems a kind of torturous to go that route.
Judge Williams,
I
would endorse your suggestion completely. I don't think that the railroads ever argued for anything different with one caveat that I should note that's in our brief, which is we sort of do wonder why the district court didn't take the direct approach and just order BLET to answer the question. I mean, why are we going back to referee Ben, which will take a while. We'll have to reconstitute the board. We'll have to find out when referee Ben's available. Why didn't Judge Reagan just order the BLET to answer this question? It's their member.
Well,
they have knowledge.
You know, it may not be that easy to answer, right? I mean, suppose this fellow had two jobs, right? They had an extra job. What would you do with his income then? Would you say those are outside earnings, or that had been something he'd always had, so he wouldn't deduct it?
And Your Honor, the union raised that argument in their reply brief. I appreciate the opportunity to respond to it. I guess I cannot deny that if the facts are that Mr. Nairn was moonlighting while he was working for Union Pacific, and he continued to moonlight, and maybe we want to argue he increased his hours.
But look, isn't that something for the arbitrator, not for the district judge? I mean, I don't think it should be treated as jurisdictional. There's a question about outside earnings, and it's not obvious, you know. It's not open and shut whether he has outside earnings or doesn't have outside earnings, because he may have had outside earnings all the time, right? That's one possibility. The other possibility is nature of the earnings. What if they're illegal earnings, you know? What if it's unearned income? What if it's... You can imagine a lot of things. What about the time? Was he working all this time? Did he have the outside earnings? So you can have a lot of these complications. I would think they have to be determined at the administrative level, the arbitration level, and that the district judge should just say, this case isn't ready for me because you don't have the earnings, so I don't know what to do. So go back and do that.
If those are real issues, what I thought when I read the union's brief making the point you just made, Your Honor, my thought was, if that's true, if we really face an issue like that, then I can't disagree with them. Okay? I cannot disagree with them. But the question I have is it really true? Is that really an issue? For all I know, Mr. Nairn, you know, has or hasn't worked, or the issue's easy, he went and got another job, and we don't need to know. It doesn't seem to me to resolve Judge Reagan's issue, the amount of his outside earnings. Because if it's $15, then the case isn't moot. And if it's $1 million, the case isn't moot.
Why don't we know that?
This is inherent, unfortunately, Your Honor, in the railroad arbitration world, where we arbitrate cases and we don't know the earnings. The record, the factual record, closes before the matter even goes to arbitration. The arbitration panel is an appellate body. It reviews the record that the parties created on the property, on the railroad property. And unfortunately, that information is never provided. And we wouldn't know the amount of the man's outside earnings because, of course, it takes about 2 years or a year and a half for the arbitrator to issue his award. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Garn. Ms. Pave?
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please this Court. I actually intended to start just where Judge Williams started, which is it is our position that this was not a final appealable order, frankly, for most of the reasons that you have already inquired about.
Why did the judge do this? Why did the judge vacate the earnings provision of the arbitrator award? I don't get that.
He did not state his reason for doing so, Your Honor.
Can you think of any rational basis for that?
Well, I mean, it would be our argument, certainly on the merits, that he was correct to vacate it in the sense that the collective bargaining agreement plainly does not permit.
He has no authority to interpret the collective bargaining agreement. And as you said, he gave no reason. Look, why don't we just mandamus him and tell him, you know, if you want to send it back to the arbitration board, you can, but you can't vacate a portion of the arbitration award?
Well, Your Honor, it would be our position that, in fact, he did have the jurisdiction to do that, since, of course...
He didn't?
Well, if that is, obviously, if that is your position...
He doesn't have the authority to interpret the collective bargaining agreement.
Well, except to the extent that under the Railway Labor Act, he does have jurisdiction if, in fact, and our position is this is what happened, if the board exceeded its jurisdiction by disregarding the clear terms of the CBA,
he does have that ability. Well, it didn't disregard the clear terms. He didn't say they disregarded the clear terms. He didn't say anything. You have absolutely no idea what he was doing. Why? No reason.
No, he did not express a reason.
Well,
that is correct.
He shouldn't have done that.
Wasn't he perhaps just postponing the decision, awaiting, the remand direction?
Again, I think that is why we believe that this is not a final order.
I'm not so sure you may not be correct, but could we read it that way, that he just, the error of labeling it vacating was really, he thought, allied to remanding back for it?
Perhaps he did. I mean, clearly it was his position that this was not a decision that was in a position for him to review, mm-hmm. that there was this missing information. It needed to go back to the board to obtain the information that Judge Reagan believed was necessary to decide the case.
Maybe my speculation could be answered by Judge Posner's suggestion that we make inquiry of the district judge.
Certainly that could be done. I mean, Judge Reagan knows his own mind better than certainly
I do. This will never end if we do that.
I'm sorry, what do you mean,
this
Your Honor?
This will never end. If the board could make any sense of his order, then they furnish some information about outside earnings, and then you have a proceeding in the district court about whether those are really outside earnings and how much they are. That's not for the district court.
I would agree with that. I think that I think perhaps one thing I agree with Mr. Godner on is I think that upon remand to the board, and I think we expressed this in our reply brief, the board would have to determine were there outside earnings, mm-hmm. and pursuant to the clear language of Mr.
What's the board supposed to do with a portion of the district court's order vacating the outside earnings provision?
Well,
the board might feel we don't have any power to determine the outside earnings because the court has vacated that part of our order.
Well, it seems to me if that is what the board concludes, then certainly UP would be free to appeal that to the district court.
So we can have appeal after appeal after appeal to a district judge who seems confused about what his authority is. I don't understand keeping this alive. I don't get it.
Well, I actually agree with what you said initially, Judge Posner, which is I believe that the question about outside earnings, whether they existed, whether they were offsettable, and whether to offset them is in the initial step the decision for the arbitrator to make. And so I guess I don't believe that it's the decision for the district court to make, which is why I think the remand to the board was correct.
But the board is going to think that it doesn't have authority to do anything with outside earnings because that portion of its order was vacated. The judge said, no, you're not going to subtract outside earnings. The judge has vacated that. So what's the arbitration board supposed to do?
Well, he vacated it and remanded for the purposes of obtaining that additional information.
What's the board's authority to obtain information when the judge has said that that's not part of your order?
Well, that's actually
a terrible garble.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but the order does specifically say we're remanding to the board to determine whether there were outside earnings.
No, but the board's going to say, well, wait a second, why are we doing that when the judge has struck the part of our order which subtracts outside earnings?
Well, I think the board could just as easily say, well, obviously,
just as easily, look, why are we confusing the board by allowing this to go back under this unintelligible district court order? I don't understand that.
Well,
can we just reverse the district judge in that portion of the order?
I'm sorry, could you ask that again,
Judge
Flom?
Could we just reverse the district judge?
In regards to
the
vacature portion?
Yes.
I suppose you could.
Right, and you wouldn't have any problem with that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you're willing to concede, but...
I mean, I was going to say, no, I can't say that I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I can say you have the authority to do it, certainly.
Well, you would leave standing the remand for the determination by the board.
Absolutely,
it would. Not clouded over by questioning of their authority.
And you do have the authority to do that, obviously.
What's your problem you would have with that?
Well, I mean, I think, and indeed it's one of the reasons that Mr. Godner, and he made this very clear in his brief, that this is an ongoing dispute, this issue. And so to have UP be able to say the Court of Appeals reversed the vacature so clearly offsets are allowed would bother us if they were to interpret they being the carrier were to sort of interpret and represent your decision as somehow showing that a vacature of offsets is improper because clearly offsets are allowed. So and that would be our concern.
I mean, I know you have to spin every possible scenario in order to represent your client, but the bottom line is, you want to know, too, whether he earned outside earnings. I mean, when all is said and done and we cut through everything, having a clear order, sending it back, vacating that vacature portion of the award is the cleanest way to do it. You agree with that?
I wouldn't disagree
and the more
with,
direct
I wouldn't
way
disagree
to
with
it.
That.
Right, and the more direct way to do it.
I okay. wouldn't disagree with that, Your Honor.
You just want a careful opinion, right?
That I do. But I don't doubt that I'm going to get one.
Right.
So yeah. I'm quite sure of that.
Very limited.
Good answer. Good answer.
So, again, I mean, I think that the key here is that we don't consider this a final order. You know, in terms of some of the other issues, clearly, if it was a final order, then it was a Rule 59e motion that the district judge should have decided. But, of course, if it wasn't a final order, then we're in a different position, although we still believe that the district court certainly should have decided the motion regardless. You know, and I covered this in my brief, so I'm not going to go into it in detail, but we also disagree with the judge's suggestion that the issue would be moot absent outside earnings because, of course, the parties here are – Mr. Naren is not, in fact, a party. The parties here are BLET and UP, and they have this ongoing dispute about this contract provision and whether it permits – the sort of offset that was done here.
But and another thing that bothers me about it, which is related, and Mr. Godner mentioned this, that apparently the arbitration board makes its determination without information about the earnings.
That is correct. That is the way it's set up.
That's what they want to do. I don't think we should be screwing around with that, right? The fact that the district judge is curious about the earnings, I think that's an interference. I'm sure the arbitration board has reasons for why it wants to resolve these disputes without getting into the dollars and cents initially. And I don't think a judge should come along and say, well, actually, that's how you do it. But I'm curious. I want to know what's going on. I do it differently. I find that very, very troublesome.
Well, and again,
as you say, you have the dispute. It's obvious. You have the dispute whether or not a specific individual has earnings.
Exactly, Your Honor, and that is our position. I would say, unless there are other questions that the court has,
So your bottom line in terms of what you would like us to do is your bottom. I mean, you want the opinion to say
if. Well, let me put it this way, Judge Williams. If, and I think you do, agree with us that this is not a final order, obviously I want your order and opinion to say that this isn't a final order. If you determine that you are going to direct the district court to do away with its vacature, we would want it to be very clear that that decision is basically a procedural one and in no way reflects this court's view in any way of the merits.
Mm-hmm. But you know about finality, certainly a question about finality, but I think it's a possible case for mandamus because Because what the, I think the district court is exceeding its authority in demanding this information about earnings, right? Because, let's say, the arbitration board, they have their own procedures, maybe mysterious to us. What do we know about railroading? But they want to do it one way. They obviously have very broad statutory authority. And I don't think a district judge can say, well, I want you to do it another way. You know, I want to have the earnings out front. That's what I find bothersome about it.
Well, and again, Mr. Godner is correct that the practice before the NRAB as well as before public law boards is not to have that. And in part it is because of the time that it takes and other issues. But that has never ever been the practice of these boards.
And let me ask you, was that fully explained to Judge Reagan during the course of these proceedings?
Did he understand what
the practice is? Because that's what troubles me about a possible mandamus. What he knew, what you all told him about this, the fact that you never got to the numbers.
I was not the person before him, but I actually reviewed the transcript before him this morning, and it was discussed. And both Mr. Godner and my partner, Mr. Wally, who was representing the BLET at the district court level, did indicate that that is not information that is generally made available or part, because, again, the record is done on the property. The board is an appellate panel, really, and never has that information. And, yes, the transcript of the hearing indicates quite clearly that that was expressed to Judge Reagan.
Okay. And does that transcript reflect why he felt he had a need for it?
Again, it reflects pretty much what he said in the order, that he was concerned about mootness if there wasn't outside earnings during that period. I think his order was a little more detailed about that, but that was what he expressed in the oral transcript as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Yes, Ms. Pave is correct. We did discuss this issue. We explained to Judge Reagan the way this works. I feel for the district court here because he was clearly thinking of a judicial type proceeding, and I actually said to him, you know, Your Honor, you're thinking of me in court, and I'm standing at a blackboard in front of the jury in closing argument, adding up numbers, and we never get rulings like that. In fact, it actually might eliminate some problems if we did, but we don't. And it's that the records close way before we get an order, so there's really no way for an arbitrator to ever calculate the number. We have to do that afterwards, and sometimes we have disputes about that, unfortunately. Fortunately, the Railway Labor Act provides a mechanism to get an interpretation. Judge Posner, your idea of mandamus certainly solves the appealability issue. We don't have to worry about finality, and it achieves the same goal. One other thing I wanted to pick up on that I should have expressed probably earlier is we are concerned about what you're concerned about, that it'll go back to the arbitration board, and that's why in your hypotheticals kept saying they put that back in, and I said, well, they don't have to do that. And one possibility is, as you've mentioned, they'll look at the district court order and think, we can't. Now, that isn't what the district court said. I would be extremely surprised if that's what the district court intended, but it is a possible outcome, and it's one of the reasons that we noticed the appeal. Finally, I don't think we have anything to worry about if we reverse and vacate reverse the vacator part of the order. I can tell you, we're not going to, if you write the order that I suspect that I'm hearing you're going to write, and it says we're doing this because the district court shouldn't have done that, Union Pacific isn't going to argue to anybody, hey, look, the outside earnings offset was upheld on the merits. You know what? We don't have to do that. Judge St. Eve in this building upheld the outside earnings offset on the merits in a ruling that if we ever get to it in the district court, which, you know, we may, we're going to argue has preclusive effect. Unless the court has any other questions on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And thank you also. These were very good arguments. And we appreciate
and brief
very much. Yeah.